Begin the current daf Masechta Rosh Hashanah daf Lamed. Begin on the bottom line of daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah, which opened up the fourth paragraph in the previous daf. Now, as we mentioned, that halachically midaraisa one is allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos. However, the Rabbanu were geizer that they're concerned that everyone has to blow the shofar, but not everyone is a baki proficient in knowing how to blow the shofar. Then they might come to carry it in Rosh Hasharabim to take it to someone to teach them how to do it properly, thereby being over on the issa deraisa of haitzah, of transporting something for Amos and Rosh Hasharabim. Therefore, they were mesakin to not go ahead and blow the shofar, which is the same thing as not to take the lulav and to read the Megillah on Shabbos. But in the Beis Hamikdash, where they weren't geizer shvusin, there they would do it on Shabbos. Now, however, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misakin that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash that they should go ahead and do it on Shabbos, even though generally outside the Beis HaMikdash they didn't do it, but once there was no more Beis HaMikdash, to go ahead and blow the shofar in the place where there was a bezin. But there was a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding if that was just in Yavde, in other words, where the Sanhedrin HaGadol was, or was it, as the Gemara quotes now, Amrulai, the other opinion's answer to him was the Echad Yavnim, Echad Kamakim Shesh Bei Bezin. That, no, the other opinion, the Mishnah, was that it wasn't just regarding the place of Yavne, but it was every place that wherever the Bezin was, doesn't have to be just the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Now, and that the Gemara qualifies this halacha. I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, and we continue the top of the Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. This that we allow it to be done in Bezdin, although it's Shabbos, it's only v'im Bezdin. It's only with Bezdin that one is allowed to go ahead and blow the shofar on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks to understand this, my v'im Bezdin. What does Rav Huna mean when he says with Bezdin? It means b'fnei Bezdin, means in front of Bezdin. That's coming to exclude, however, if it's not in front of Bezdin, then one is not allowed to. So although, again, that they would go ahead and blow it wherever there was a Bezdin, but it had to be in front of Bezdin. There you can go ahead and blow it, but if it's not in front of Bezdin, even though it's a place that has one, you cannot go ahead and blow the shofar. Now that must have Rava asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, and we alluded to this cryptic term in when we quoted the Mishnah in the previous daf, said, now, additionally, this was another point that Yerushalayim had over, when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, that Yerushalayim had over Yavne, which was only instituted after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, where we said, and as the Gemara will shortly elaborate on this, that it said that any city that was able to see and to hear and all these different things, that they could also blow, even though it's not in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So it says that this is additionally another point that Yerushalayim has over Yavne. Now, the question is, my v'oidzais, what's, and also this? And that is as the Gemara explains. Ilem ekediktani, if you're going to say, if you, as the Mishnah is read, now, zais mibayler, should have said this, it doesn't say anything else in that context that it said one thing Yerushalayim has over Yavne to say, and also this. It should just say this, it's only one thing. Ella, rather, what you have to say is, which is not said in the text of our Mishnah, but what it's alluding to is that there was another thing that Yerushalayim had over Yavne. That the Yerushalayim taken, that regarding Yerushalayim, they would blow on Shabbos, Yechidin individuals, which are not even the Shluchi Bezdin, the messengers of Bezdin. Whereas Ubi Yavne, it would sound like it's saying, ain't taken Yechidin, that individuals cannot go ahead and blow themselves. Now, these are the words that obviously are missing from the Mishnah, but that's what you have to say to resolve this understanding of what does the Mishnah mean when it says, and also this. Meaning, besides the fact that we said in the Beis HaMikdash they would blow on Shabbos, now that there's no more, they blow in Yavne. But another thing that it has over it is that Yerushalayim, anywhere that was in the environs that can see and hear and come, they would also be able to blow, not just in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Whereas in Yavne, that's not the case. And but what's v'oidzais? What was said before that we're adding on that also must be that we're saying that regarding Yerushalayim, the individuals, not only the Shluchei Bezdin, meaning Bezdin himself could blow, but even individuals could. But in Yavne, they weren't allowed to. So that's one thing. And v'oidzais is also more than that, is not just that Yechidim could do it in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's even if they were close enough to see and to hear. Now, but that's difficult to say, and hence this obviously cannot be the understanding of what was the first thing that we're saying v'oidzais, because Ubayavna ain't taking Yechidin. Is that really true? That regarding when there was no more Beis HaMikdash, and then they started doing it in Sanhedrin HaGadolah, at least according to everybody, that they would blow it in Yavne, but only the Shluchei Bezdin, meaning the Bezdin and whoever they're sending up to blow the shofar, only he could, but no one else. But V'hakiyasa, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar, when he came, he said as follows. He said, Kimisayim Shlicha Ditzibur Tekibi Yavne, when the Shlicha Bezdin, which is the messenger for the Tzibur, the Shatz, when he finishes blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yavne, Le Shoma Inish Kail Onei, no one was able to hear the sound of his ears. In other words, he couldn't hear anything. Mikal tekuei diyichidoi, because of all the shofar blowings of all the individuals. Meaning everybody got in on it, and everyone's blowing their shofar. So obviously, you can't say that in Yavne, that was the first thing that Yerushalayim had over that. That Yerushalayim, even individuals, not just the Shlich Tzibur, was able to. But Yavne, they couldn't, because we see clearly that he said the testimonial that in Yavne, everybody, even the individuals, would also be blowing. So Elalav, rather, what do you have to say was the first difference that Yerushalayim had over Yavne to say V'oid Zayis? Was it the Yerushalayim taken Bei Mizman Bez? Must be that Yerushalayim, that when we said the individuals would be blowing, they would be blowing whether it was in the time of when Bezdin sits, which is up to 6 hours in the day, which is the times of when the court of Bezdin is in session. Ubein Shaloi Bizman Bezdin. And must be that in Yerushalayim they would blow even after that the court went home to their houses. Even then, when people would be going ahead and blowing the shofar in Yerushalayim. Ubi Yavne, but you have to say, but regarding Yavne, Bizman Bezdin in. Now, only at the time when the court is in session, then the individuals blow the shofar. Shaloi Bizman Bezdin Lai, but if it's not during the time when the court is in session, then they couldn't blow it. That's the first thing that Yerushalayim had over Yavne. And again, the second one was, as our Mishnah says, regarding that even if they're not right there, but they're close enough, even then the Yechidim could blow. Now, that the question is on what Rav Huna said, but HaBizman Bezdin Miyatekim. But what we could learn is that at least when it was in the time of Bezdin, then they could blow, which sounds like, but for the Shaloi Bifnei Bezdin, even not in front of Bezdin. Now, Rav Huna had qualified this halacha that they would blow in Yavne, or any place where there was a Bezdin, at least according to the other opinion mentioned on Mishnah, that it has to be in Bezdin, with Bezdin. But here it sounds like that, it would sound like the contrast is not like that. That this first thing that we're adding, V'eid Zayis, is that Yerushalayim, even when Bezdin was in session or not in session, but whereas in Yavne, it had to be only when they're in session. But it sounds like only when they're in session, but it could be even not right in front of them. But if when they had said it has to be with them in Bezdin, so I don't think Mrs. Lai, that's not really true. That, in other words, what we were assuming is that first thing, the Eli B'Yerushalayim taken, actually, the halacha was that what the first thing Yerushalayim has over Yavne is that in Yerushalayim you were able to blow, bein bifnei bezin, bein shaloi bifnei bezin, whether in front of bezin or not in front of bezin. That's what Yerushalayim has over, whereas over Yavne, bifnei bezin in, shaloi bifnei bezin lai. It's only in front of Bezdin that you could, but not in front of Bezdin that you cannot. And that is in the Gemara's question. The Gemara was assuming that the differential between Yerushalayim and Yavne was regarding the Zman of Bezdin. That is, Yerushalayim doesn't have to be in the time of the court in session, whereas in Yavne had to, but it sounds like that even was Bezman Bezdin, but it doesn't have to be in front of Bezdin. Now the Gemara's answering according to Rav Huna that no, it's in reference to if it has to be in front of Bezdin. In Yerushalayim, they possibly had to be in the Zman, but it didn't have to be in front of Bezdin. Whereas according to, as Rav Huna explained, which would be the difference for Yavne, that it has to be even Bifnei Bezdin, as that's how he qualified that halacha, that they would blow in Yavne or any place where there was a Bezdin, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, it had to be at least Bifnei Bezdin. So that was the first thing Yerushalayim had over Yavne, again, besides the thing that our Mishnah adds on, V'Oid Zayis. So that was the first version of what the Gemara brings down was Rav Huna's qualification. But there are those that bring this statement of Rav Huna, who he qualified and said that the halacha has to be v'im bezdin, with bezdin. So our first version had it going on the halacha of our Mishnah, that they would blow in Yavne and the places where there was a bezdin after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, that even individuals could do it, but it has to be with bezdin. Now the second version has going on a different halacha. Except there's a pasuk in the Yikra that says, on Yom Kippur, you should have the shofar blown throughout your entire land. This is a reference to Yom Kippur on Yovel, which comes once every 50 years. Now, Melamed, this comes to teach us that, what does it say, b'chol artzachem? That shekol yachid v'yachid chayv l'dkar, that every single individual has an obligation to blow the shofar. Now, on that halacha, Rav Huna says, v'im bezin, however, has to be with bezin. Now, on that, the question is, as our Gemara had asked regarding the first version, to understand what does he mean to say, my v'im bezin, what does it mean with bezin? Now, here the Gemara in the second version brings a different understanding of his qualification. It means bizman bezin, it means at the time when bezin is in session. Now, as Rashi explains it, because here you can't say, as it said in the first version, that with bezin means in front of bezin, because it says b'chol artzachem, it says it throughout your entire land. You don't have bezin throughout the entire land. So it cannot mean that it means in front of Bezdin, as the first version had explaining our Mishnah. Rather, it must mean that, what does it mean, v'im Bezdin, means at the time when Bezdin is in session. Lafukah shloi bezman Bezdin delay, which comes to exclude, regarding this halacha of Yovel, that everyone has to blow the shofar, it has to be only at the time when they're in session, but if they're not in session, then you're not allowed to blow the shofar that you have to blow on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Now, that Masav Rava, Rava asks, as he did in the first version, but now this is going on this version, from the following Braisa. Tekiyas, and the Vilna Gaon takes out the next words of Rosh Hashanah, that Tekiyas Rosh Hashanah v'yevel, the blowing of the halacha of yevel, teiches a Shabbos b'gvon, that will override the halachas of Shabbos throughout the land, ishu beisei, for a man and his household. Now, the question first is, my ishu beisei, what does it mean in the Braisa, that the blowing of the shofar and yevel will override the halachas of Shabbos for a man and his house? Now, ilei me'ishu v'ishta, if it means to say ishu beisei, as it means in different contexts, it means to say a man and his wife, that the halacha blowing the shofar and yevel will override that, itzami mechaiva, is a woman obligated in this mitzvah blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur of yevel to say that it overrides Shabbos? But ba mitzvah sasei z'man gerami, it's a time-bound mitzvah. It only happens once every 50 years. And we know b'chol mitzvah sasei z'man gerami, nasha b'turis, women are exempt from positive commandments that are specifically in a certain time frame that are not at all times. So el olav, rather, what does it mean when it says in the braisa that ish b'beisa? It means ish b'beisa. It means a man in his house, which this is the Gemara's question that Rav is asking, which sounds like vafilish lebezman bezin. Sounds like a man in his house could go ahead and blow. It sounds like no matter when it is, even when bezin is not in session, which seems to refute what Rav Huna had qualified that im bezin, which the Gemara explained means to say has to be only bezman bezin. The Gemara says, "Lo, no, it's not true. Loilim bezman bezin. It's talking about yes, you could do it bibeso in your house, but it has to be bezman bezin. It just doesn't have to be lifnei bezin, as we said from the pasuk. It's b'chol aretzchem, so you could do it in your house. But again, however, it does have to be in the time of when bezin is in session." So the Gemara continues asking Rav Huna, "Master of Sheshes, learn the brayse that says shava hayevel Rosh Hashanah. Yevel has similar halachas to Rosh Hashanah. Again, where they're both blowing the shofar on one yevel is on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is every single year." They share the halachas regarding their tekiyas and regarding the brachas that are said. Ella, but there is a difference. Should be yevel taken because regarding yevel, they would blow whether it's the bezin that's mekadesh achedish, which goes ahead and designates when is the new month based on the signing of the new moon, which that's only the Sanhedrin Hagadayla. However, regarding yevel, you don't have to go ahead and just blow it in that bezin. You can blow it in any bezin that there is. And v'chol yachad v'yachad chayav l'tkaya, and it's also every single individual has an obligation to blow the shofar on the Yom Kippur of Yevel. Whereas Rosh Hashanah lo yahayutek, and however Rosh Hashanah they wouldn't blow if it ended up being on Shabbos. El bebezin shekitcher b'yisachaydish, only in the bezin that's mekadosh achaydish. Again, as we said, it's a reference to the bezin hagadol of the Sanhedrin hagadolah, who they are mekadosh achaydish. They designate when the new month is. Which this opinion that the Bryce is quoting is that of Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, who he said that it was only in Yavne that they were Mesakin, not every place where there was a Bezdin to go ahead and blow the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls on Shabbos. And every single individual is not obligated to blow, so though that Yevil and Rosh Hashanah have similar halachas, in this they're different. Then Rosh Hashanah would only be in the Sanhedrin HaGadayla, that's one difference, whereas by Yevil it would be in every Bezin. And also, regarding Yevil, every single individual would blow, but here regarding when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, every individual would not blow. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, now, my ain't called Yochad v'yochad chayav l'tkaya. Now, by way of explaining the Braisa to ask in Rav Huna, the Gemara asks, what does it mean when it says that, however, on Rosh Hashanah, if it fell out on Shabbos, not every single individual would blow the Shofar? Now, Elaim, if you mean to say the Yevil taken Yechidin, that on Yevil individuals would blow, Ub Rosh Hashanah ain't taken Yechidin, literally as it sounds like, but Rosh Hashanah individuals would not blow. But Vahaki Yasser, Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Amar, when he came and he said the following testimony, he said, Kav Mesayim Shlicha di Tzibur Tekiyasa B'Yavne, when the Shlich Tzibur, when he would finish blowing the tekiyas in Yavne, again, which was what, where the Sanhedrin Hagdela was, which is the only place, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, that they would blow the Shofar on Shabbos. Now, obviously we're talking about when Yom Tov is on Shabbos, because that's obviously why we're picking Yavne, because or else they would blow it everywhere on any Rosh Hashanah. But even so, that it was Rosh Hashanah that fell out on Shabbos, he said that Leishama Inish Kail Oine, no one was able to hear the sound in his ear, Mikal Tekiyod Yichidai, from the sound of the blowings of the Shofar from all the individuals. So we see that you can't say that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that the individuals would not blow, because they would blow, as he said, that everyone was blowing away, at least if it was in the place where is by the Sanhedrin HaGedolah in Yavne. It's Elalav. Rather, what do you have to say is the interpretation when it says that in kol yochad b'yochad chayv l'tkaya if Rosh Hashanah falls in on Shabbos? The ilu be able taken because the contrast is as follows. We're saying that regarding Yevil, individuals would blow Bein bezman bezn, bein shalei bezman bezn. Whether bezn is in session, whether the court is not in session. U'Rosh Hashanah, however, Rosh Hashanah, bezman bezn in. When, what do we mean to say when we said, however, every individual wouldn't blow? We mean to say that because they would only blow if it was during when bezn is still in session. Shalei bezman bezn lai. We meant to say every individual wouldn't do it, meaning he wouldn't do it if bezn is not in session. Because that's in contrast to Yaival, where it would be even if it's not bezman bezn. Therefore, the Gemara concludes the question, Rav Huna. Ketanim, yes, but one thing that we do see, if that's the understanding of the Braisa, that b'yayvel, b'mizman bezn, b'in shalei bezman bezn, that regarding yayvel, the individuals would blow, whether it bezn was in session, or even if they're not in session, because or else what else is the contrast to Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah they would blow too, because as he said, the testimonial. So obviously he was saying that it was only bezman bezn. But yayvel that was saying that yechidim do blow must mean that even shalei bezman bezn. Now that refutes what Rav Huna said, who he said that's only in Bezdin, which the Gemara explained to say, only Bezman Bezdin. But Shalei Bezman Bezdin you wouldn't. And here we see clearly that by Yevil you would do it even Shalei Bezman Bezdin. And that Gemara says, Loi, no, it's not a question on Rav Huna. Loilim Bezman Bezdin, truthfully, even by Yevil, one would, the Yechidim would only blow it, only if it's Bezman Bezdin. But V'hachik Tani, this is what the Brice is saying when it's contrasting Yevil to Rosh Hashanah. Be Yevil, regarding Yevil, Bezman Bezdin Taikim. When it's the time of when Bezdin is in session, then all the individuals would blow, Bein Bifnei Bezdin, Bein Shaloi Bifnei Bezdin. That's going to be the point. Not Bezman, but rather Bifnei. Whether they're in front of Bezdin or whether not in front of Bezdin, as we explained, this is B'chol Arzachem. Regarding Yevil, they would blow it everywhere. It doesn't have to be in front of Bezdin. Rosh Hashanah, taking Bezman Bezdin, U'Bifnei Bezdin. The difference is that Rosh Hashanah needs to have not only at the time of Bezdin, but has to be even in front of Bezdin. But if it's not in front of Bezdin, then Rosh Hashanah, the individuals, would not blow. And that was the differential between Yevil and Rosh Hashanah, not regarding Bezman, but regarding in front of Bezdin. Now the Gemara says, Idmaname, we learned like this halacha of Rav Huna, according to the second version of what Rav Huna was saying, that's going on halacha of the tkiyas of Yevil, that it has to be only Bezman Bezdin. As we find that Amr B'chir Bargamda, Amr B'yisim, and Shol Amr Rabbi, Ein Taikin, individuals are not allowed to blow on the Yom Kippur of Yevil, El Kozman Shebezdin Yoshim, only as long as Bezdin is sitting in their place, and then all those who are blowing could blow throughout the entire city, because it doesn't have to be Bifnei Bezdin regarding Yevil, but it still has to be Bezman Bezdin, and that was Rav Huna's qualification. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara asks Bayrib Zeira. What's the halacha Ninru Lamud? Let's say they started moving from their place to get up. They were done, but they didn't get up yet. Mahu, what's the halacha? And the question is as follows. Bezdin Yeshvin Be'inan V'ho'ika? What's the halacha that we said it's only Bezman Bezdin? Do we need that Bezdin should just be sitting and they, even though they adjourn, they're done, but they're still sitting, hence they could still blow throughout the entire city? Or maybe we need it to be the time of Bezdin, as the wording that we had been using up until now. Now, the timing is to say that when they're still having the din tayra, when they're still judging, now they're done already, they close their books and they're ready to leave, that's not Zman Bezdin, and therefore maybe they would not be able to blow anymore. I think Gemara says, take or let it stand. It's not clear what would be the qualification of Bezman Bezdin. Does it mean just if they're sitting and that you have, or would it mean when they're actually involved and engaged in the courts and in the laws and that you don't have anymore, and therefore it wouldn't be valid anymore to blow throughout the entire city? Now, the Mishnah had said, as we had quoted before, that besides what Yerushalayim had over Yavne, which is not mentioned in our Mishnah, which we had explained before, what is it that Yerushalayim had over Yavne? V'oidzai says Yerushalayim Yisrael Yavne. Now, additionally, what Yerushalayim had over when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, this was another point that it had over Yavne, that although Yavne, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, that was where we started blowing on Shofar on Shabbos, but it wasn't as great as what was allowed in when the Beis HaMikdash was still around. Where, as the Mishnah had said, that if you were able to see or hear, so the Gemara is going to explain all these points that is qualifying that people that weren't even right there, but if they were within a certain area, they were also able to blow. Where, when it says Raya, it says that if they were able to see, what that comes to exclude is Pratli Sheves Benachal. It's excluding if there someone dwells in a valley, although maybe you're close to Yerushalayim, but if you couldn't see it, then you weren't able to blow. If you were within Shemas, you were able to hear, then you also could blow. That's Pratli Yeshevis Barishahar. That excludes if you sit on the top of a mountain, so although you're able to see, but if you're so far that you can't hear, then you're not allowed to blow. Kareiva, if you're nearby, Pratli Yeshevis Chutz L'Tchum. That comes to exclude if you're beyond the Tchum of Shabbos, of 2,000 Namas from where the city ends, there you're not allowed to go ahead and blow. V'chelalava, and the other condition was that if you can come, so then if you're able to see and hear and you're nearby and you could come, then the Mishnah said that even then you could blow, even if you're not right there in within the environment of the Beis HaMikdash. That idea of that you could come is prat l'mafsik l'nara, is that comes to exclude if a river is interrupts from where you are to get to Yerushalayim, then you can't technically come, so therefore then you can't blow. But if you are within all these areas of that, you're nearby and you could see and you could hear and you could come, then you're able to blow, where that stands in contrast to Yavne, where you had to be right there, and if you're beyond that, then you couldn't go ahead and blow yourself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah regarding the takanas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So segues into a different halacha. B'rishayna haya lulav nitl b'mikdash shiva. Originally, the lulav was taken 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. That's because, as it says in the pasuk, that you should rejoice, which is a reference to taking the lulav, which brings simcha, in front of Hashem your God for 7 days. So that's lefnei Hashem lekeichem in the Beis HaMikdash. They would take midday rice to the lulav for 7 days. Ubimedina yemechad. However, beyond the Beis HaMikdash, there the mitzvah was actually only 1 day, because it says in the pasuk, "V'lekachem lachem b'yom rishon." Says the mitzvah of taking the lulav was only 1 day. Now, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, but once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so now essentially no one's going to be taking the lulav beyond 1 day, because the only place they took for 7 was the Beis HaMikdash, and that's not around anymore. So Hiskan Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, shehei lulav nitl b'medina shiva. So he instituted that now we should go ahead and what's called taking the lulav, shuckling the lulav for 7 days of Sukkot. Zeichel HaMikdash as a way of commemorating the Beis HaMikdash, where that was the only place where the pasuk said to take it for 7 days, and it's not around anymore, so we want to commemorate that, as the Gemara will explain why we do Zeichel HaMikdash, and therefore we take it for all 7 days of Sukkot. Another takana Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was misakin, was v'shehei yoim henef, that the day of the waving, which is a reference to when they would wave the Omer, the barley offering, which was brought on the 16th of Nisan, of the second day in Pesach, that kuli yasur, the entire day should be forbidden from eating from the new crop, from the new grain. That is, halacha is that one cannot go ahead and eat from the new grain until the Omer is brought. Now, however, midday raisa biblically, when there's no more Beis HaMikdash anymore, when it becomes the morning of the 16th, it's already permitted to eat from the new grain. As the Gemara explains in Pesach Tzimnachas Daf Samachesim et Alf, where one pasuk says ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the essence of this day, that is when you'll be able to be permitted to eat from the new grain, and another pasuk says ad haviyachem, until you bring the carbon oimer, where the Gemara there resolves what does that mean? Is it when it's the morning of the 16th, or only in the 16th when you finally bring the carbon oimer? Is that when the Beis HaMikdash is still around, then the oimer permits the new grain? When there's no oimer, then the essence of the day already permits it, which is essentially earlier, right when the day starts in the morning. Now that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was masakin, although midday raisa it permitted first thing in the morning, says that no, the entire 16th should still be forbidden to eat the new grain, and only once it reaches the 17th, then the people could start eating from the new grain. Now the Gemara first opens up this that we mentioned, that although essentially the mitzvah is only really to take the lulav 1 day, not in the Beis HaMikdash, we take it for 7 days. It's what's called Zeichel HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, Manolan Davdin and Zeichel HaMikdash. From where do we know this concept that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai came to be misakin, that we do things to commemorate what was done in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara brings Dama Krak, because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Ki Allah Aruchalach, Hashem says, because I will make a cure for you, U'memakaysech erpoich no Hashem, and that from your wounds I will heal you, Hashem says, Ki nidacha karolach, because they have called you the rejected one. Tzien hi, oh, it's Zion, Dairish Einla, there's no one that seeks her. Now, but one thing, Mechla, we can infer from the Pasuk, Debayadrisha, that it needs someone to seek her. Because this is a disparagement of Yerushalayim, that no one seeks her. But we should do the Drisha, and therefore we do things to commemorate it, that we should constantly be yearning and pining and seeking for Yerushalayim, and that's why we do things that are Zeichel HaMikdash, which included in that was this idea of taking the lulav for all 7 days to commemorate what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the second that kind of mentioned in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was, v'shehei yoim henef, that the day of the waving of the carbon oimer, which is really essentially the idea of that there would be makrib the oimer, was kuli yasser. The entire day should be forbidden, although again with the rice it's mutter in the morning, the entire day should be forbidden now that there's a Chorban Beis HaMikdash to eat the new grain. Now that the Gemara asks, my time, what is the reason why Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made this gezerah? So that the Gemara explains as follows. Meheri yibana Beis HaMikdash. Speedily, very soon, the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Now, people are going to say when the Beis HaMikdash is going to finally be rebuilt, they're going to say, Ishtake, last year, didn't we eat from the new grain already when it was already the morning of the 16th? Achshav nami neichel, now also when there's a Beis HaMikdash, we can go ahead and eat the grain in the morning of the 16th. Now, below Yadi, people are not going to know or realize the shtaki levaimer. Yes, last year there was no carbon aimer because there was no Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, heyer mizrachiter, once the morning of the eastern front came with the sun, that already made it permitted because that was the biblical law when there's no Beis HaMikdash, as we explained that resolution of the two different psukim. But hashda deka aimer, but now that there is a carbon aimer because the Beis HaMikdash is already rebuilt, aimer matir, it's only the carbon aimer of the barley offering that's brought into the Beis HaMikdash, that permits. And therefore, it's still forbidden until it's brought. And to preclude that, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, okay, you know what? We're not going to allow it on the 17th, on the 16th, because people might come to do it when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, which is not really permitted yet, because the Omer wasn't brought yet until sometime during the 16th. And therefore, we're going to make it today, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, forbidden the entire 16th. Now, however, the Gemara asks to understand this. Now, Demivni Amos, exactly when is it that we're concerned the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? That we're saying that, you know what, this might happen, this problem, that they're going to say, oh, last year, and therefore this year too, even the Beis HaMikdash, when is it that it's going to be built? If you're saying that, let's say the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt on the 16th of Nisan. Now, that can't be a problem, because actually, there is no Mizbeach yet if it's built on the 16th. I mean, if it was finally built on the 16th, that means once the morning came out, there was no Mizbeach yet, and therefore it actually is permitted the first thing in the morning. So, Ela de'ivni b'chamesa. No, it must be that our concern is that if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the 15th of Nisan, where there is time on Matzah Yom Tov, because there's only one day of Pesach of the 15th, and right away after the 15th on the evening time, you can go ahead and reap that new grain to bring it tomorrow according to its mitzvahs. However, and that's what you're saying is that people are not going to notice because they're not going to have time to learn the new halachas, and right away the Beis HaMikdash are going to be rebuilt, and then what's going to happen is that people are going to eat it first thing in the morning and really it's not permitted until the Omer is brought. But then the Gemara asks, fine. We understand that there is such a concern. People are not going to notice that there's going to be a difference from last year that you can't eat first thing in the morning. But at least from noontime until the end of the day should be permitted even today, Bezman Hazeh, and Rabbi Yochanan should not have made a gezerah only up until noontime. Because even if you're right, now let's say the Beis HaMikdash will be speedily built, and people are going to say this thing about, oh, didn't we eat last year from noontime? So let's also eat now from noontime. But that's not a problem because actually that is permitted. Even those, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, who live far from Yerushalayim, who don't know when the Omer is brought, they could rely, at least by noontime, that for sure the Karban Omer was brought. That's not, as we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos, that says, Harachaykin, those who live far, so they don't know, was the Omer brought yet? We can't eat the new grain. The Mishnah says, Mutari Mechatzai Seyem Alhan. They're actually permitted from noon on the 16th to go ahead and eat. Now, the reason is why they could assume then is Lafisha in Bezdin Mesatzlamboy. Bezdin, the court that's in charge of making sure that the Omer is brought, they're not lazy. They're diligent. They make sure to bring the Omer before noontime. So the question is, even if you're concerned that people are not going to notice that there's a difference between the Beis HaMikdash or no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they're going to continue doing what they were doing throughout the diaspora in the Gullus, and they'll continue doing it now too, fine, but at least make it usher up until noontime, but not beyond noontime. Why make the entire 16th usher? Because no matter when it is, the carbon items for sure will be brought before noontime on the 16th, as we find that that's the case for whoever lives far. They can assume that after noon, it's already permitted to eat. And that the Gemara answers, loy nitzrucha. That what the concern of Rabbi Yochanan was regarding the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt was the Ivni B'chameser. He was concerned that let's say the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the 15th of Nisan, let's say Samach L'Shkeis HaChama, when it's close to sundown, about turning into the 16th, or Inami, or similarly, the Ivni B'Laila, let's say it was built on the evening of the 16th of Nisan, which is up until, let's say, midnight, or let's say close to the morning time, where then there wouldn't be enough time. It's just a technicality of reaping and of drying it out and of grinding it and of sifting it and of bringing it that it should be done before noontime. And that is, you're right, when the Beis HaMikdash is up and running as it normally is every single year, there, they're diligent, they're going to make sure to be able to have it done by noontime. But here, if everyone would be accustomed to be eating the new crop from noontime, Bezman Hazeh, then people might come to eat it even if it was built, the third Beis HaMikdash, which would come speedily, right before, where it was just built on the 15th or 16th, and only then could they go ahead and start the whole process of doing the Katsiris Omer, which is just technically not enough time. So they might only get it done by the end of the day of the 16th. And therefore, we're concerned for exactly such a case where, yes, it was built on, let's say, on the 5th of Nisan, that wouldn't be a problem, because of course it would be done before noontime. But since it might just happen on the 15th, or let's say in the evening of the 16th, then they're not going to be able to get it done by noontime, and therefore if people are going to eat it, let's say even afternoon, they will be violating, because they won't know this difference between before the Beis HaMikdash and after, and that's why he said that the entire 16th should be asr because of that concern. Now Rashi just wonders, he says, how do you have these two cases that the Gemara was concerned about, that it might be built on the 15th of Nisan, or on the night of the 16th, but either one of those are not feasible, because the 15th of Nisan is Yom Tov, the 16th at nighttime is nighttime, and the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shavuos that building the Beis HaMikdash cannot be done on Yom Tov, neither can it be done at nighttime. So how could these be the cases that we're concerned about? So that Rashi says that's only regarding a Beis HaMikdash that's built by humans, by people's hands. But the Beis HaMikdash that will be ultimately built, a third Beis HaMikdash, is B'dei Shemaim, is built in heaven, and then will just come down. And therefore that could be done even on Yom Tov or at nighttime, and therefore that is a valid case to be concerned about. And since it might be done not by noontime, although generally it is when the Beis HaMikdash is around and maintained, that's why we said that the entire 16th, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Mesaken, should be Aser B'zman Hazeh. That's one explanation of this Takan of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Another explanation the Gemara brings, Rav Nachman Yitzchak in the Gersa Amar, he says, actually, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, we continue on Talmud Beis, Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he was actually saying it based on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he actually says it's not a rabbinic invention of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to say it's also the entire 16th, now Bezman Hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Actually, it's biblically forbidden the entire day of the 16th, Bezman Hazeh. Because the Amar, because he says as follows, there's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, well, that where it begins there, v'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo'yseichlu, talks about the new grain that should not be eaten, ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the essence of this day, meaning the 16th of Nisan, which that means ad atzmei shalyam, until the essence of this day. Now, up until this day, b'ksavar and Rabbi Yehuda holds, ad v'ad b'chlal, that when it says up until, it means including that up until, which means say that even the 16th is also forbidden to be eating the new grain. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying, that today, Bezman Hazeh, it's not based on, as we had said, the other pasuk says when you bring the Eimer, because it's no more Eimer. Rather, it's based on Etzma Yom Hazeh, which includes even the 16th. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umi Sabal Kabasei, can you actually say that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda? But V'amiflik Poli Galel, we have a clear Mishnah Menachos that shows that he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's not, as we learned in that Mishnah, it says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted, Shiyehei Yom Henef Kula Asa. As it's mentioned in our Mishnah, that the entire day of the waving, the 16th of Nisan, should be entirely forbidden. That Rabbi Yehuda comes to argue on him, and he says, what do you mean? What are you saying that you're making such a takana, like a rabbinic invention, but biblically it's forbidden? As it says in a pasuk, up until the essence, which Ad includes that day, so it's biblically forbidden. Now, on that the Gemara answers, that actually, they're not arguing. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Ihu Sava, he thought, he assumed Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabban Kama. He thought Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was actually rabbinically. In other words, as we had said on Amud Aleph, as the first shot in the Gemara had said, that he was coming to make a gzera rabbinically because of that concern that maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt and people won't realize that difference and therefore they're going to come to eat it even before the Omer is brought. But actually, Belohi, that's not even the case. That's not Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's opinion. Actually, Midaraisa Kama, he holds just like Rabbi Yehuda that it's biblically, and that's why he made this Isra, not because it's rabbinic, but because it's actually Asa Midaraisa. Now, that the Gemara asked, but Vahiskin Katani. But if you look at the terminology that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai uses, both in our Mishnah and in that Mishnah, Maseches Menachos, it says that he instituted. Sounds like that he made this Gezeira. How can you say that he holds Deraisa? What would be a Takana? I think Moran says, no, my Hiskin, what does it mean that he instituted? It means Darash, that he expounded for them the Pesukim, where he showed them this contradiction of the Pesukim, that one says that it should be Asr until the Omer is brought, and the other one says until the essence of the day. And he expounded and explained to them that it means to say that one is Bizman Habayis, and one is when the Beis HaMikdash is not around anymore. The Hiskin, and then he instituted that the people should accustom themselves that it should be forbidden. Because up until now, it actually was permitted sometime during the day when the Omer was brought, because the Omer was the matter. Now that there's no more Omer, so he was masakin that people should change their custom, but not because it's Rabbanan, but actually because it's the Raisa, based on the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda of Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now the Gemara continues again on the same theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the takanas of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So it tells us that Rishayna Hayu Mekablin Eidus HaChidush Kol Yom. Originally, they would accept the witnesses regarding the new moon, that is, they based the new month on when the sighting of the new moon is, the entire day, which is the Rosh HaChidush could be either on the 30th day of the previous month, which if it's seen on the 30th, that means to say that's day one of the next month, that makes the previous month only to 29 days, which makes it a chaser. Or it could be seen on day 31, which would make that day one of the next month, and that would mean that the previous month was 30 days. So originally, on day 30, they would accept Eidus their entire day. Because who knows, up until nighttime, we could still get someone who says, oh, I saw the moon. That means, oh, today, day 30, is really day one of the next month, and then tomorrow's already day two. But pamachas nishtahu edim lov. One time it happened that the edim were very low, the witnesses were very low from coming. It was very late. They didn't come only up until late into the day. Now, what happened was, when the skalko ha-levim b'shir, that caused a disruption for the song that the Levim sing every single day when they sing by the Karbanos, which Gemara will explain exactly what does this mean, that it was Neskalkal got ruined. So because of that, that messed up the singing of Levim, because it was so late into the day, Hiskinu Shalayi Mekabim Ela Adam Mincha. So therefore they instituted that no more. We're not going to accept witnesses to make this day, the 30th day, as Rish Chaydish, which would mean day one of the next month, only if they come up until the time of Mincha. If they come after that, then we're not going to accept them anymore, and automatically the previous month will be 30 days, and we're only going to be Mekadosh the next day, day 31, as day one of the next month. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is talking about regarding Rosh Hashanah, where the halacha is that once the evening of the 29th day finishes, and we go into day 30, they already were noyig, they accustomed themselves to treat that day as Kaddish. Now the reason is because maybe tomorrow, witnesses are going to come and Bezna is going to be Kaddish day 30 as day 1 of Tishrei. Now what that retroactively means is that the night before was Yom Tov, because we know the halachic day starts in the evening. Now so too the next day up until Mincha time. Now if Eidim come before Mincha, so then, as always, whenever Mekadosh L'Chedosh, Bezna will sanctify that day as the new month, which the new month of Tishrei means to say that that's Rosh Hashanah. And they'll know that it was appropriate that this was when they had accustomed themselves the evening before, that was the right day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, however, the Mishnah continues, based on what we just said. Now, Vimbo, Edim, and Mincha Lamala, but if Edim, witnesses, come after the time of Mincha. Now, although, as we just said in the Mishnah, that Bezna said no more because of the song of Levim got messed up, we're not accepting witnesses to sanctify today, meaning day 30, as day 1 of Tishrei or of any month, and it's not going to be the new month. And therefore, what that means is that the Me'abr El, which means to say that it extends El into a 30-day month, and only the following day of day 31 will they sanctify as day 1 of Tishrei. Now, however, the Mishnah is telling that, in spite of that, Neigen Eisa Hayem Kodesh, still they treated that day, even though the Eidim came after Mincha, which then says, that's too late. Today, that means was not really Rosh Hashanah, only tomorrow. Still, they concluded that day with sanctity, day 30, and they concluded with Kedusha, and they said that it is still going to be forbidden to do Malacha all the way up until the nighttime. Now, the reason for that is because maybe they're going to come to be Mezalzel and treat lightly the next year, and they're going to do Malacha the entire day because they're going to say, look, you don't remember last year that the whole day we treated like Rosh Hashanah for nothing? Because you don't remember that after Mincha time, when then the Eidim came, we said, oh, you know what, today's not going to be any more Rosh Hashanah. Go ahead, do Malachas, because really Rosh Hashanah is going to be the next day, and the people are going to go ahead and treat it lightly. Therefore, they say that no matter when the Eidim come, even if they come after Mincha, so although we're not making it anymore as Rosh Hashanah, and only tomorrow, because the song of the Levim gets messed up, but still we're going to treat it as Rosh Hashanah for the entirety of the day. And also, L'machar Kaddish, obviously the next day will also be Kaddish, because day 31 will, by default, have to be day 1 of the next month of Tishrei. Now, that's the halacha. Now, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, again, like all these takanas of Yechim Zakeh, which were instituted after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where here there's no more Shir of Levim, which was the whole reason of the institution of not being Mekabel Eidim after the time of Mincha, so he reinstituted that we should accept Eidim all the entire day, even after the Zman of Mincha, because again, there's no more reason of not accepting them because of the song of the Levim. Now, the Gemara asked to clarify what was mentioned because of the original halacha that they changed not to accept Eidim after the time of Mincha. Ma kilkul kilkul halvim b'shir. What was this that got messed up regarding the song that Levim sing when the carbon tamids are brought? So Hachet Targimu, here in Bavel, they interpreted what it meant was that Shaloi Amru Shir Kalika. What happened was that Levim didn't end up saying a song by the Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim. Now, the reason is because they didn't know what song to sing. Because maybe witnesses are still going to come today, which will then make it today is really Rosh Hashanah, and then they have to sing the song of Yom Tov. Or maybe Edom are not going to come, and what comes out is that today is really a weekday. And therefore, since they didn't know what song to sing, because they were waiting, our witness is coming, and the witnesses didn't come up until much later, and therefore they didn't end up singing. Therefore, they said, okay, you know, you can't have this, Atama Shabbat Abayim, the evening Karban Talmud that comes every day, not to have a song. And therefore they said, okay, you know what? Once it comes time Mincha, if Edom didn't come anymore, it's too late, it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah, and you'll know what song to sing, which is the weekday song. Now Rashi clarifies, obviously we're talking about the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, but not regarding the Talmud Shal Shachar, because there's two Karban Talmuds, one in the morning, one in the evening. The one in the morning, since most years, generally, witnesses don't come so early in the morning that they come before the Tamid Shal Shachar, and additionally, it's also a doubt if today will be Kodesh, that they'll make this as the new month, or maybe not. So therefore, Chachamim were not misaken the Shir Shal Yom Tov in the morning of Rosh Hashanah. As the Gemara later on will explain, the Tamid Shal Rosh Hashanah in Shachris was brought as its regular halacha, as it's supposed to be brought, with the Shir Shal Yom of the weekday. But regarding Tamar Shal Bein Abayim, there they were Mesakin to make the Shir of Yom Tov, because there generally, Edom comes sometime during the day before that, and therefore what happened was is that year they waited, because maybe we have to sing the Shir Shal Yom, because they didn't know what song to sing, and therefore they said, no more, we're not accepting after this Manam Mincha. That's the interpretation of what they said in Babel. Zera Amar, he argued, he said, it's not that they didn't sing a song at all, but rather, Sha'amar Shir Shal Chayilim Tamar Shal Bein Abayim, what happened was they were waiting, no one's coming. Okay, we're going to assume that it's going to be a weekday because no witnesses are coming to make this day as holy. So they sang the weekday song. Now, that messed up because ultimately witnesses came and it was Rosh Hashanah and they sang the wrong song. And then they said, not to make this confusion anymore, we're not going to accept Edom after this Manam Mincha. Now, Amalei Reb Zeira La'ava Bereis, or Reb Zeira, who he espoused this view that they sang a song, just the wrong one, because it was a weekday song that they sang, and really it ended up being Rosh Hashanah. So he told his son Ahava, Puk Tanu Lahu, go out and teach the following braisa to the people of Bavel that they said in explanation of the Mishnah that the Levim didn't sing any song whatsoever. Teach them this braisa, where from there you'll see that it's not that they didn't sing any song, but rather they sang a weekday song. Where the braisa says, Hiskinu Shulayu Mekabn Eitzah Chedesh. Where the braisa elaborates on this halacha and says that they instituted not to accept any more witnesses for the new month. Ela kadei, only if sheyehei shahus bayem, if there's enough time during the daytime, lahakrav tamidin u'masafim in this game, if you have enough time to bring the carbon tamid and the musaf with their libations, v'loy meshirish le'meshibish, and that you could say the right song without making a mistake, then we'll go ahead and accept the witnesses. Which means to say, but however, after the time of mincha, where you won't have enough time, and therefore they're going to end up singing, where then we're not going to accept him anymore. Now, on that, he said, if you say what happens is that they sang the weekday song, that's what the braisa is forewarning and saying that we're not going to accept anymore because we don't want this mistake because they sang the wrong song. But if you say that what happened was, which is why they made this institution of not to accept anymore after that time, was that they didn't sing any song whatsoever, so my shibushika, what mistake is there? There's no mistake, they just didn't sing at all. Obviously that they sang a weekday song, and that's the reason why they made this institution. The Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Kimin de l'am haklal, actually, since they didn't say any song, in l'chashibash gadol mizeh, there is no greater mistake than that, because they didn't sing any song. That's definitely a mistake in the way the carbon is supposed to be brought, and there was no riot. Now, Master Rav Acha Bar Huna, he asked, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan of Bavel, that they said no song was sang at all, he asked from the following braisa. That says, Tamid Shal Rosh Hashanah Shachris, regarding the carbon Tamid that's brought every single day. Now, regarding that one, which is brought Rosh Hashanah in the morning. So on that, as we mentioned before, Karv Kel Chaseh, that's brought, as it's normally brought on the regular weekday, where the Levim sing on the libations, the weekday song, as we learned in Masechtas Tamid, where it says, the Shir Shal Levim Hayom Beis HaMikdash, Beim Rishon, they said like this, Beim Hashen, like this. So whatever day it is, they sing the weekday song. But Musav Mahoim, however, regarding the carbon Musav, what song do they sing on Rosh Hashanah? So that the Brisa brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Harninu lelikim uzenu, sing to our mighty God, Hariu lelikei Yaakov, blow to the God of Jacob, which, and they actually say the entire mizmer, which this is actually the Shir Shal Yom, the song of Thursday, and they would say it by the Karban Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, because since it's a Yom Teruah and it mentions Hariu lelikei Yaakov, that's why they would say it by the Karban Musaf. Now, b'mincha mahoemer, what song would they sing by Mincha, by the Tamid that comes in the evening? So that the Brisa brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Kol Hashem Yochal Midbar." The sound of Hashem, the voice of Hashem shakes the desert. Now, the reason why we mention it is because we want to mention Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we want to mention the merit of the sound of the shofar that was blown by Matan Torah to recall that merit of Kabbalah Satara. There it's mentioned by the Kol Hashem, which was the Kol Hashem of Matan Torah. Now, the Brisa says, however, Bizman Shechal Rosh Hashanah Lees B'chamish B'Shabbos, however, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, where Edim actually, if they came before the Tumit Shal Shachar, now, Shashir Shalahar Ninu Lelikim Azenu, where the Shir Shal Yaim of Thursday actually is Har Ninu Lelikim Azenu. So, Lohoyaim B'Shachas Har Ninu. So then, we wouldn't sing on Thursday the Shir Shal Yaim. In other words, although we said that generally we would sing the Shir Shal Yaim, because as we said, that generally Edim would not come before the morning time, and it was a doubt if they're going to come or not. So always in the morning, we kept it that, even if we know it's Rosh Hashanah, we sing the regular Shir Shal Yaim, the weekday one. But if Rosh Hashanah is a Thursday, where that is the Shir Shal Yaim of Thursdays, to sing that weekday one of Harninu, then they wouldn't sing it. Because what would happen is, then they would be saying it two times, because as we said, that we always sing on Musaf Rosh Hashanah Harninu, because we want to mention this idea of Harivu L'Elokei Yaakov. So Elamahu Aimer, so what would they say on the Tumit Shal Shachar if Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday and the Edom already came before? They would say the second half of that parak, where it says, Hasireisi Miseva, that it took me out from my burden, Shichmai, his shoulder, where that is, as the Mizmer there talks about, which talks about Yosef leaving jail, which was on Rosh Hashanah. So that's why we mentioned that of the Shir Shal Yaim, but we wouldn't say the first half, because actually the first half is going to be said by Musaf. Now, Vimbo Edom. However, if witnesses come on a Thursday, Achar Tumit Shal Shachar, after the morning Karban Tumit, where at the time of the Shir of the Karban Tumit, they didn't know if today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, and that they should say, let's say, Hasiraisi, or maybe it's going to be a weekday, and it's going to be a weekday, they should say their regular Shir Shal Yaim of Harninu. So then the halacha is actually Oymer Harninu. Then, out of doubt, they would say Harninu. Even though what's going to end up being is that by Musaf time, since Edom will come after the Tumit Shal Shachar possibly, they might be repeating that, because by Musaf they do say Harninu because they want to say really Kei Yaakov. So although it's a doubt, but we're going to say it anyway, because we only don't say it because of, look, you're going to say it by Musaf anyway, but if we don't know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah anyway, so we say it as we do by every Shir Shal Yaim, the weekday song, which on Thursday is Harninu. Now the Gemara concludes the question from the Braisa. If you say like Reb Zera, that kol hecha de mistapka amrin and shir dechal, when there's a doubt, which was what that story was, what happened is that before they made this takon of not to accept Edom after the time of Mincha, then you go ahead and you say the Shir Shal Yaim of Chayil, because even though you're in doubt, but when you're in doubt, you say the weekday song. Now that would make sense why they're saying that you're going to end up saying it and doubling it, because now that you're not sure if it's Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, you'll say Harninu. But then if witnesses come right after that, before the Musaf, then by the Musaf, you're going to say Harninu again. So that makes sense, because even though it's a doubt, you do say the weekday song. But if you say like those above had interpreted what ended up happening that year by towards the evening time, they didn't know what to say, so they didn't say anything at all, that loy amar klal, that you don't say anything at all. So my amar v'koyfle, how do we understand the braisa? What does that mean that you're going to say it and then double it, but when there's a doubt, you don't say anything at all? So that should have been what the Brisa was saying. Not that you say it and then you'll repeat it. You don't say it because maybe today's going to be Rosh Hashanah. And if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, then you don't say it because you're going to be doubling it again. And you don't want to say the Shir Shal Chayil because that's something that you're going to be saying by Musaf anyway. So how do we understand the interpretation of those in Bavel? I think my answer is we continue on top of Laman Alf, Laman Alf, that no, Shani Hasam, that case of the Brisa is different. The Shiri Deyemuhi, because essentially that is the regular weekday song of a Thursday, which is Harninu. And that is, really, whenever there's a doubt, for example, like that original machlekes regarding the interpretation of what happened in the case of our Mishnah, where they made the takana of not to accept witnesses after the time of Mincha, where there, if let's say the day is going to be Rosh Hashanah, so you're right, it's not appropriate to sing the weekday song. And if it's going to be weekday, then it's not going to be appropriate to sing the Rosh Hashanah song. So you're right, because of that doubt, they didn't say anything at all. That was the kilkel of the Levim of the Shir, and that's why they instituted not to accept Edom anymore after the time of Mincha. But here in this Braisa, the reason is because, actually, the weekday song of Thursday in the morning, which is the halacha that we said that every single morning we do sing the weekday song, even the Rosh Hashanah we said that we're going to sing the weekday song by all the Tumids that come in the morning. So here, it's actually the only reason why is that since Thursday, we go ahead and we say we're not going to sing the weekday song only because we don't want to repeat it by Musaf. But since when we're in doubt that maybe it's going to be doubling it, maybe not, we're not going to nullify the singing the Shir Shal Yom by the Karmat Tamid. And that's because essentially every Rosh Hashanah we sing the Shir Shal Yom of the Chayal. So Thursday really shouldn't be any different. It's only because of the concern of doubling it by Musaf, because by Musaf we want to mention Harninu. So because of that, it's not the same type of a doubt. There it's a doubt of, is today Rosh Hashanah or is today weekday? Now that's not appropriate to sing a Kodesh one by Chayal or Chayal one by Kodesh. But here the concern is not the same type of a concern. Here we always sing the Shir Shal Chayal in the morning, even if we know for sure that's Rosh Hashanah, because since generally doesn't happen by then, so they instituted to always sing the Shir Shal Chayal. Now, but here Thursday is the exception where we don't say because we don't want to double it, but essentially, we would say it, we don't want to double it, and it's also a case of doubt, because maybe it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah today, and we're not going to be saying it Musaf, and that's why we maintain saying the Shir Shal Chayil, even on Thursday of Harninu, even if we might go ahead, out of doubt, go ahead and double it by Musaf, but again, it's not the same thing as the case that they had been explaining in the Mishnah, where it's a doubt if it's Kodesh or Chayil, there actually the halacha would be that out of doubt, you wouldn't say anything, and you wouldn't say the Shir Shal Chayil.